Let's shift them. Let's put it over here. Let's have a little fun, you know. Draw our own stars. Just play God. We're going to recreate the heavens. Isn't this fun? Now, you that have it in your book probably have already looked it up. Al-Hinnah means hurt, wounded, or afflicted. Mebsuda means treading underfoot. Now, do you see what we've done? By shifting them, we have Castor with the wounded foot and have Pollux or Hercules victoriously treading underfoot. And we've messed it up. Because in the twofold mission and twofold work of Christ, it's in that passage in Matthew. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, quoting out of Isaiah 41:42, till he send forth judgment unto victory. It is that twofold role of Messiah, the suffering servant of Isaiah, and the victorious Son of Man of the apocryphal book of Enoch and Daniel. It is the twofold message of Genesis 3. The wounded foot, but also bruising the head of the serpent. As so often in Old Testament prophecies, it takes two figures to present Christ. You have two goats on the Day of Atonement, one that dies, one that bears the sins away as the scapegoat. You have two turtle doves, one that dies and the other that has the blood of the slain one sprinkled on his wings, and he flies off to freedom. So you have it in Gemini. You have the double work of Christ, the conquering one, and you can't mess it up. It is Castor, Apollo, the ruler, the judge, the victorious one that has the star Mebsuda in his knee, treading underfoot. It is Hercules, Pollux, the one that triumphs through suffering, that has the star in his foot named wounded, hurt, afflicted. You have two functions, two roles, two accomplished purposes of Christ. The Redeemer, the coming Judge, and Vindicator of Righteousness. And Gemini grabs and places in the figure of the twins both sides of the work of Christ. A star in the center of his body means set. We're talking of Castor now, Apollo, the victorious one. Trying to figure out how many of these I want to give you as the names of the star. I think your cap book has most of them. But in Gemini, you encounter two sides of this glorious one. Nobody says it better than Fleming. In fact, if I can find this book by Fleming, I want to find it, Joe. I don't know where I can pick it up, but he has a way of saying these truths that is a little better than any of the other writers from the Christian frame. Let me read from him. He says, Gemini is a fine constellation in the northern winter sky. Two bright stars act as pointers to it. And those two stars are in Orion, making Gemini easy to locate. Gemini supposedly refers to the famous twins after whom the two bright stars are named, Castor and Pollux. Pollux is now a little brighter than Castor, though apparently this was not the case in ancient times. The meaning of Gemini as a sign has become more obscured than most of the other signs. In Greek mythology, they were not baby boys, but twin heroes displaying unparalleled heroism with the Argonauts in the contest for the Golden Fleece, clearing the seas of pirates and other things. The name Apollo or Castor meant ruler or judge, and the name of the other bright star, Hercules or Pollux, means who comes to labor or suffer. These meanings indicate that Castor and Pollux are the ruling judge and the laboring sufferer. And from the old Coptic meaning of the word, they are united into one, which is exactly the doctrine of the Incarnation. And we will see him throughout eternity. Once he became kin to us, he remains our near kinsman throughout eternity. That's why the resurrection of the body of Christ was so important. Throughout eternity, as he came to be our Redeemer, he will exist throughout eternity as the one who was our Redeemer. Now, it will not be hard for the Christian to appreciate the twofold united character of the coming Lord and Savior in this sign. This twofold presentation of Christ is repeated again and again in the stars, showing us the character of the coming Christ. Other names are consistent with this. The star in the foot of Pollux means hurt, wounded, or afflicted. The star in the leg of Castor means treading underfoot. In some of the ancient zodiacs, Castor holds a palm branch. He's thus identified with Christ as the branch of Jehovah. There are old star names that confirm this. One means palm branch. Another means the seed. A third means branch. What Gemini portrays is the coming of the Lord in his dual capacity as both ruling prince and Savior who suffered. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, as it was preached in Acts 5:31. Now, supporting this Gemini sign, which conveys the united kinsman-redeemer role, who comes as righteous judge, but is united as Savior, who was wounded for our afflictions, but now comes to wound, in the supporting surrounding decans, we have first what erroneously, and as I've said, all these signs are distorted at the Day of Judgment with the later paintings over of mythology. We have Lepus, the hare or the enemy, in modern constellations shown as the rabbit. We have Canis Major and Canis Minor, two dogs. This is Canis Major and Canis Minor. Now, how in the world you can get dogs out of these signs is beyond me. Now, the Greeks had these two dogs functioning as hunting dogs, a bigger and a lesser one, for Orion when he went hunting. And they had a myth that he loved to go hunt rabbits. So it's the Greeks that painted this thing over. Again, you'll find the true meaning when you dig into the more ancient zodiacs and into the star names. We are in the Day of Judgment. We have seen in Taurus the Lord coming as the charging wild bull. We see in Gemini the two-natured one who obtained our redemption through suffering, but still retains his nature and right as the coming judge to execute vengeance and righteousness. He will tread on the enemy, not a hare. Let's look at it. The names will take us past the myths. Go to the most ancient. In the Persian planisphere, the first constellation, now called Lepus, the hare or the enemy, was a serpent. Now that's consistent with what all the signs have had as the representation of the enemy. He's shown wrestling with the serpent, treading on the scorpion, treading on the serpent. In the day of judgment, it's not a hare, it's a serpent. In the ancient Egyptian zodiac, and when you go to the Persian and the Egyptian, you are way back behind the Greeks. You've stripped a layer of mythological paint off. It's an unclean bird standing on the serpent. Its name means confounded and failing. It's a small constellation of 19 stars. Let's look at the names. The brightest star is in the body of the hare, right here. Arnebo. It means the enemy of him that cometh. Wouldn't the devil like to convince us he's a hare? I mean, what kind of enemy is a rabbit? The Arabic name means the same. Other stars not identified on the picture, making up this constellation, mean, respectively, the mad, the bound, the deceiver. Again, the stars all focus in on imagery of Satan. And there can be no mistaking the voice of this united testimony, for this enemy is under the downcoming foot of Orion, who was in another constellation. And it tells the blessed fact that the foot of Orion, another symbol of Christ, is going to crush this evil serpent. All the signs are consistent in naming him as the enemy. It's just ruined when you call him a rabbit. Orion, the son of righteousness, shall tread down the wicked. Now let's look at the dogs. In fact, with your permission, I'm going to come back and teach on just Sirius alone, the so-called dog star, later on. See, once I do this coverage, I then want to do something with you together. Once you've got the gestalt of the message of the heavens, then what will help you is to just take your own notes and trace from the 1st through the 12th the changing images of Christ. Then trace from the 1st to the 12th the changing images of Satan. Then trace from the 1st to the 12th the role of the people of God. And you're going to be forced, as we've seen, to see that God is dealing with two sets of saints, at least, and sometimes three. The church and his old olive tree branches, the houses of Judah and Israel. Sirius, the dog star, was worshipped in Egypt. There have been a lot of speculative books. I got one laying on one of my tables, one of the best picture books I've seen on UFOs, where they consistently try to fantasize about the possibility of UFOs coming from the dog star, Sirius. It's dominated the thinking of people for centuries. And you'll see why as we get into it. I'd like to teach on the mystery of Sirius, that one star. And Josephus spoke of the people, the land of Syriac, because they worshiped the dog star at various times as the place where, I think he was speaking of the pyramid, was standing to his day in the first century. It's no dog. As the twins have been distorted and turned into sweet little babies or lovers, and as the serpent, the enemy that is tread underfoot, has been distorted and turned into a little old gentle rabbit, the dog star has been distorted. We got to look at the names again. In the Dendera, ancient Egyptian zodiac, he's called by a name which means the head. And instead of being pictured as a dog, he's pictured as a hawk. The hawk's the natural enemy of the serpent. And in that zodiac, it had on its head a pestle and a mortar, indicating it's going to crush the head of his enemy. In the Persian planisphere, it was pictured as a wolf. Plutarch translates the name leader. In Arabic, its name means coming quickly. From all these different and most ancient names, again, a unity of meaning comes down. Sirius was, by the ancients, always associated with great heat. We still call those days that are the hottest part of the year dog days. This dog star came to have an ill-omened meaning, as Satan would distort. If he can make the signs of Christ take on an evil tone in the day of judgment, and the sign of the deceiver that's to be crushed take on a sweet little cuddly rabbit appearance, he has fulfilled his mission as a deceiver. And the satanic painting over of the original truth turns the evil serpent into a hare and turns the dog star and the constellation called the dog major into an evil omen, because it carries with it the concept of heat. Well, the heat is going to be on Satan. That's why he tried to distort it. Again, we got to go to the names of the stars to find the meaning behind the paint over. In ancient Akkadian, his name means the leader. We still get, as I told you the other night, our word for respect, sir, from the name of this star. The star on the left forefoot means prince or ruler. It's right here. As the name Sirius means the prince, the name in the forefoot means prince or ruler. The star in the body, that's the bright star in the body of the dog, means the bright and the shining. The star in the right hind leg, that are the chief stars, the ones I pointed out of this constellation, its name means the glorious. You don't call a dog the prince, the leader, the bright and shining, and the glorious. Sirius was the prince. Other stars not identified in the picture mean who shall come, or the chief of the right hand, or the mighty, or the leader, or again the chief. Every one of those names speak of that powerful role that is also contained in that side of Gemini, which is embraced by Apollo. The one who comes as the leader, the judge, the prince, the bright and the shining, the mighty one. This constellation is driving home the truth. Here comes the Redeemer to tread down the serpent, the second dog, Tanis Minor. You got to do the same thing. The Egyptian name in the Dendera zodiac, which goes way back behind the Grecian names, is Sebok, which means conquering, victorious, and it was represented in their ancient zodiac as a human figure with a hawk's head, conveying that natural enemy of the serpent. There are 14 stars in it. The brightest star in the body, Procyon, means Redeemer. That's the little dog. It's got one bright star in the body. It means Redeemer. Now, we could take Gemini and lay it right down here. One side of the twin message teaches the Redeemer role of Christ. The other side teaches the righteous ruling judge. The serpent, falsely characterized in mythology as the hare, is the enemy to be trodden down. To support the meaning and the double witness, what more modern astronomy calls the two dogs are in fact but a further representation of the twin truth of Gemini. The dog, who is the prince, the leader, the shining one, the ruling judge, is supported with the other picture of Gemini, the small dog, where the meaning is the Redeemer side of his work. He comes as judge, he comes as Redeemer. He comes as the twin, the one who treads the enemy underfoot, the one who was wounded in the heel that redeemed us. The two dogs just say the same thing a different way to confirm the message. The star means Redeemer. And Bullinger says it pretty well. Just as this chapter of the stars begins with two persons and one in the sign Gemini, one victorious and the other wounded, so it ends with a representation of two princes, one of whom is seen triumphant and the other as Redeemer. The next star in the neck of the little dog means the burdened, the loaded, bearing for others. The star up here in the neck. So the little dog has the Redeemer is the meaning of the main star, and the burdened or the bearer conveying the role as Redeemer. Here he is righteous judge. The very size of the dogs tell you which will be the most enduring and longest and largest dimension. Temporarily he came to be our Redeemer. He shall rule throughout eternity as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Gemini, in a twice-told message, communicates the twin truth of the double role of Christ as judge and Redeemer, as prince who leads and one who bore our burdens. Together they crush the serpent, which is wrongfully called the hare. Now we're in the third chapter of the final day of judgment. As Taurus charged on the scene, and Gemini conveys the twin role in Cancer, the message shifts. And it shifts to the position of the redeemed during this final Holocaust. Cancer. Nothing is messed up like the crab. When conditions are good, you can see a nebulous cloud with this one, which is really a cluster. In the middle, it's got two stars, two asili, which are asses or donkeys. The nebulous cloud, translated, means the manger. See, the meaning of this sign is an enclosure. If you've ever taken the trip from Jerusalem down to Jordan, they have what's called the Good Samaritan Inn. And some Christian teachers on this sign have chosen that inn for the symbol. The only reason the crab got involved is because of the strong grip of a crab's claw. And they conveyed the meaning of tightly held, clasp, or held secure. But the meaning was always that of an inn or a manger or a sheepfold, not a crab. Rather, the concept of the encircled, whatever encircles and holds, that's the meaning of it. A crab can grip you, but it does not grip for the reason to encircle and give protection. And that's where crab distorts. And we'll see that when we look at the signs. In this sign we also come to the decans, which are the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. We also, in these groups of constellations, come to Polaris, the North Star. Fixed. Doesn't go in a circle like the rest of them appear to go in the sky as we rotate around. And interestingly enough, as we'll tie this in with the pyramid, when the pyramid was designed to be lined up in those passages that crosshair with the scored lines and the vertical or the descending passage, the vertical scored lines, the lines point to the Pleiades. And the North Star at that age was Draconis, really the star that means the subtle one in the dragon constellation, the sign of the devil. As the thousands of years have gone by the precession of the equinoxes, this phenomenon that's also related to the wobble that we have, the Earth's axis that points to the North Star, because it points, you don't have the sensation of that star going around, because it's the center point where everything else is going around in the rotation. That axis was aimed in on the star in the constellation of Satan. As we come to the time of the end, suddenly that star that is the North Star changes and is zeroed in on something else. I think it's kind of interesting, and that's why I'd be delighted to teach on Cancer this week. We have a comet sailing through the sky right now. It was first located in the Little Dipper. If you go out and look for it tonight, you'll find it in the region of the Big Dipper. So these two signs are suddenly moving into prominence. What do these signs mean? The whole sign of Cancer focuses in on the shelter and the position of the redeemed and the chosen ones during the time of this Holocaust. They are secure. And that thought is driven home as the most secure star in the heavens zeroes in that area of the message that speaks of the last day security and the position of the ones that the righteous judge and the Redeemer looks out for. So Cancer is going to lead us into the message of the place, the safe haven of the redeemed. We'll come to the ship Argo, where they sail safe into the harbor. But that's for tomorrow night.